Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. When it comes to making sales, few things work better than an optimized funnel. Funnels build the relationship in a specific way based on what stage of the funnel a prospect is in. However, funnels can be difficult to set up as there are many steps to their process. So if you've wanted to create a high converting funnel but don't know how to start or feel like it's too complicated, this episode is for you. Today's guest is a copywriter and funnel strategist whose content has been featured on places like BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, Greatest, Cosmopolitan, and more. She focuses on sales and systems and helps her clients from a funnel's start to finish. Her past clients include a multi-million dollar spiritual development company, nutritionists, health coaches, online business moguls, biohacking specialists, supplement companies, life coaches, and many more. She teaches people how to create copy that converts, as well as strategies that simplify your business and your life. Today's guest for episode 129 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Shanti Zachariasen. Shanti, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me and for that delightful intro.
It is a pleasure to have you on the show as well. And I really look forward to taking a deep dive into funnels. But before we do that, I'd like to get some background. So what first attracted you to funnels? Like, why did you decide to focus on that niche?
Well, I actually was working full time for this company and I was just sort of thrown into the deep end. I had never developed funnels before. I had never seen the behind the scenes of how powerful they can be for generating revenue in your business. So I was thrown in and told to create funnels from start to finish. Everything from the course that was being sold to the lead magnet to the Facebook ads to the email sequence to the sales page, the whole shebang. So I kind of learned by doing. And through that, I saw my work manifesting itself as like $50,000 to $70,000 launches. And it was quite powerful. So that's how I discovered funnels. And when I went and started my own business, I thought, why not share this amazing method with other business owners?
And it's interesting how you just thrown right into it and you had to learn by doing. And I feel like some people, they're either like information overload or they'll do that learning by doing. And while it's important to read books, listen to audiobooks, listen to episodes of podcasts like this one, you learned by doing. Was there any time for you to read articles about funnels or listen to audiobooks or podcast episodes, or did you get all of your knowledge from doing?
No, I definitely studied a lot and listened to every webinar and podcast I could get my hands on and read books and did all of that alongside doing the actual work, which I think is really important because often we get so caught up in just learning and we don't really focus on doing. So if you can find that balance, you're setting yourself up for success.
And that balance is something, I mean, that's critical. Like we could spend all, but if you spend all the time learning, you're not doing, but if you spend all the time doing, you're just relying on your existing knowledge. So you definitely do have to strike that balance. And it's good that you did all this knowledge acquisition and implementation as you built these successful funnels. But to an outsider, to someone who maybe they have a very basic funnel or they don't have a funnel at all, it seems very complex. Like you have different email sequences set up based on like whether someone buys a product, doesn't buy a product, and that chain continues and splits in various ways. So how do you plan out the funnel before you like get in deep into it to make it less complex?
Yeah, and I don't think it has to be complex. I just think of it as a journey, honestly. So someone is starting off at the top of your funnel and they know that they maybe have a problem, but they're not hyper aware. They don't necessarily know that there's a solution. So the first step is just enlightening them that, yes, there is a solution. Here is a chunk of that solution for you to take and digest on your own. And you're educating people as they move down the funnel, as they move through this customer journey. Another way of looking at it is like dating. So your first encounter is perhaps that Facebook ad for a quiz or a free guide, or maybe not a webinar. That's a little bit deeper, but that's your first encounter. And you're saying like, hey, do you want to go out on a date with me? And if the person is picking up what you're putting down, they're going to say, sure. And they're going to click on your link and they're going to sign up for your thing. And it's going to land in their inbox. And that's your first date. And everything after that is like, okay, second date, third date, fourth date, we're engaged, we're married, we've got babies. Like, this is beautiful, right? So that's how I like to think of it. And you can have lots of those funnels for lots of different things and different segments of your audience. But I think people overcomplicate it because they think it needs to be complicated. But it actually doesn't.
And it's definitely a big mindset thing where if you view something as complicated, it's going to be very complicated. And there are some funnels that they have so many emails in them, but you don't necessarily need to have that many emails in a funnel to make it good. Some of them go on very few emails, others go on many. It's all based on what approach works best for you, but you should definitely be taking a small action just to get started with this process. And Shanti pointed out something like very powerful because that first email is like the first date. So you gotta make sure you're able to deliver well on that first date, because if you mess up the first date, you're not gonna get a second one. And I believe that part of it is the copy that you write within the emails, because that's how you tell people about your story, your journey, why they should take a certain action. So what are some of your tips for optimizing the copy we use within the emails that are in our funnels?
Yes. So some of your listeners might have heard it before because it's the holy grail of copywriting and content marketing is establishing a sense of know, like, and trust. So offering an honest opinion, a story, something that's real and valuable and authentic is so much more powerful than just shooting off some like hypey email that's clearly a marketing endeavor. You have to first establish connection before even thinking about getting into a sales pitch. So, in that first email, you have a golden opportunity to create a long-term, sustainable, healthy relationship. And you do that by sharing your why and sharing how your why can help other people in a real, tangible way.
And I love this idea of focusing on your why. That's something that I feel like we should be focused more on. And this activity of creating funnels and enhancing ones that you currently have and tapping into that why, that will allow you to learn a lot more about yourself when you do decide to do that. And one of the reasons that you write all these emails like first date, second date, third date, it's an event. You're leading to that engagement. You're leading to that marriage. So many people, they would describe a product sale or a client as that engagement or marriage. And in all the experience I've had with interviewing people and doing some research on this, I'm wondering if you use something that's referred to as the ascension model, where low price product, high price product, you just lead to high incrementally higher prices, or if you have one central point where people can buy any of the products. So I'm wondering, how do you promote the products? Do you follow the Ascension model or something else?
Yes, good question. So typically I follow an Ascension model, but it depends on the business. So as a service provider, I can't necessarily put together a funnel that follows an Ascension model because I've just got like a few core services and they're all going to be quite expensive, right? So that's a little bit of a different situation as opposed to somebody who maybe has a tripwire, like a $50, under $50 offering, and then they've got like a mid-level $200 to $500 course, and then they've got maybe like a signature course that's $1,000, and then maybe they've got like a $10,000 mastermind. You know, every business is so different and every business has different offers in place. But typically I like the Ascension model because when somebody, even if somebody purchases something from you for $1, the likelihood of them purchasing from you again shoots up like you wouldn't believe. I wish I knew the exact percentage, but there have been studies done on this principle and it works. So I think that's why people follow that model.
And I ask because I hear some people praise the Ascension model, others saying it's broken. So I love this idea of using the Ascension model for when you have products, like it helps like for books and training courses, things like that. Obviously, it's different for each business, but when you're focused on services, the Ascension model may not work as well. So that's when you may want to have that one little hub where you're able to promote all of your different services since you don't have that tripwire. And I'm wondering if someone does have the services and they want to create that experience where in like an email, for instance, they could promote their services instead of like how you promote like a tripwire or like a more expensive course. How do people with services do that?
Well, I think it comes back to delivering value and showing the worth of whatever you're offering. So it's about educating your subscribers and showing them why they need this service, or maybe they don't, but if they're on your email list, there's a high likelihood that they do. So it's your job to show them why, and also just to give them ways that they can improve it on their own terms, because maybe somebody doesn't have the budget to hire a copywriter or a graphic designer or a virtual assistant, but someday they will, right? So if you just keep planting seeds of value along the way, when they turn around and say, hey, the numbers in my bank account tell me that it's time, I can hire a copywriter now. And I know exactly who I'm going to hire because they have been delivering value and showing me their worth for X amount of months or days or weeks.
And that's a decision that you definitely have to consider carefully because you don't want to find yourself in the red, or you don't want to have to fire people when you like fire good people when you don't necessarily have to, but it's because you're in that spot. So it is good to look at the numbers before you make an important decision like that. And one of the things about any funnel, it doesn't matter if it's just three emails stretched to a week or one of these mega funnels that goes for like several months, but people do reach the end of a funnel. And I'm wondering what happens once people reach the end of that funnel. Do they get some type of special treatment, like away from any, like, for instance, if you end up, if someone leaves a funnel and then they're in like, they get into your email list when you're promoting a product, you might want to have some buffer in there. So what happens in your scenario and the ideal scenario in general when someone leaves the funnel, like when they complete it?
So typically you're going to have email marketing that goes to your entire list, right? So whether it's like a weekly newsletter or you're sending out promotional offers every now and then, you're likely going to be sending it to your entire list. But within that, you're going to have different funnels. So say you have like your master funnel and it's like 3 months long and there are 77 emails and somebody moved through that entire funnel and they read each email. That is awesome. Good for them. They should get a prize, but typically they don't. They just get tagged. They're just tagged as master list. And then they're still going to be hearing from you when you reach out with content to your entire list. Or if you're really sophisticated, and this is where things get complicated, you can tag those people for specific actions that they took while they were moving through your funnel. So maybe they purchased something. You can tag that they purchased something, or maybe they clicked on some links and you know that there's a high likelihood that they're interested in a specific topic. You can tag them for that topic and send them marketing material that's especially relevant to them. So there's a lot of different things you can do, but you're right. We need to invent the eternal funnel that never ends.
And it's interesting how you're tagging people based on any action they take. Like, I feel like where, like if you have a funnel, you're good at targeting people based on like when they become a customer, because now the message has changed for that person. It's like, okay, here's your login info. Here's how you can best use this course that you just purchased. But I feel like you're right. I mean, like we should be tagging people based on some of the clicks they make. And then you could say, hey, I noticed you read this article. I just published this one. I thought you'd be interested in it based on what you just read. So I really do love the idea of tagging people and moving them around, not just because they bought a product, but even something as simple as a click. And I feel like if we're able to get that specific with the tagging and the communication, we could have we could provide our subscribers with a better experience.
Yes, for sure. And this is part of what I do for my clients is I give them systems so that they can segment their audience based on their specific interests. Because often your audience, I mean, they're not just one type of person with one set of interests. You likely have people at all different stages of business, potentially with different interests. And so if you can segment them and get them into a funnel where the messaging is specifically geared towards connecting to their struggles and pain points and providing them with very specific solutions, your conversion rates can go way up.
And I mean, it's just amazing, like all the tagging, all the options that we have. And like if anyone's interested in becoming a client, you can head over to shantizak.com, ChantiZak.com. On there, you'll be able to learn more about how to become a client if you want Shanti's help with your funnels and your copy. But I would like to transition to one of the questions that I enjoy asking people. So Shanti, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Well, I think the most obvious answer is fear. We're all afraid of something. And fear is just false evidence appearing real. So 99% of the time, our fears are total BS and just mindset hurdles that we need to overcome. So whether it's sharing your story or putting yourself out there or opening yourself up to the possibility that what you have to offer is valuable and you can make money online and it is possible. I mean, I think those are some of the big hurdles that people face when they get into this world of online marketing. So yeah, just overcoming that fear. And it's a practice.
Fear is one of the common answers that I get, and I feel like it affects so many of us. And for the like some of the successful people were like, wow, they conquer their fears and things like that. I've heard that something to the effect of they still have those fears. They just have the courage to push through. They see the fear, but they just go for it anyway. So it definitely takes a lot of practice, as Shanti mentioned. But as you do continue that practice and you continue putting in the work, it's definitely going to get easier for you to, like, you see a fear, but you still go for it. Sometimes a fear can tell you that that's exactly where you need to be going. But part of the fears that we get are some of the challenges that we face. Like, we had a bad experience. Fear creates, like, fear comes based from that challenge and affects how we approach future challenges. So with challenges in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, so one of the biggest challenges I faced was actually getting fired from the company that I worked for, that I developed all these courses and funnels for. And that was really intense because I'd put all my energy into helping them succeed. And I didn't even think to question that. I didn't think to diversify or maybe not have all my eggs in one basket. So what I learned from that was just always create multiple streams of income and be working for yourself, even if you're not making money from it. Because it's very easy to devote all your energy to someone else. But when you do that, one day you just wake up and realize you haven't created anything for yourself and you haven't pursued your own dreams. So yeah, yeah.
That is very deep. And I mean, in moments like in the moment, it could be really, I can only imagine what could be flowing through in a moment where like you get fired from a company and then you lose all the income that you were making. But luckily you were able to develop the skill in funnels, which is becoming more and more important. And I mean, you were at the beginning helping a company with their funnel and you still help people who are your clients and you provide free content as well on the subject. But how did you go from creating funnels for an existing business to building your own brand and then creating your own funnels?
Yeah, honestly, it happened really fast. And I'm so grateful that it happened the way it did, because I was just forced to go in full steam ahead and make it happen. It wasn't like I was starting completely from scratch, because I had actually run my own business copywriting before I worked for that company. So, but it took a bit of time to get back into the rhythm and developing my own funnels. I'm going to be totally honest. My funnels are terrible because I spend so much time working on other people's stuff. So big goal for 2018, walk the talk. And like I just told you, this lesson from above, not focusing on your own work, it comes back around. So yeah, I wish I had a better answer. It was really like getting out there, pushing myself to go on podcasts and write guest blog posts and send emails to past clients saying, hey, I'm back in action. Let's do this. And yeah, feeling the fear, but doing it anyways.
And I know at this stage of your journey, it's something that you're still developing. You have a goal set for 2018, but what are some of the things you're either doing or planning on doing to balance the time you spend between clients and your own brand?
Yeah, so I'm the type of person, I need someone to tell me what to do. I just need that direction. So I invested in, I guess, a half coaching, half online course training program, specifically to help service providers create their funnels and transition from doing only custom done for you services to creating a program where it's done with you. So here I'm giving you the framework and everything you need to know. And I'm also here to hold your hand along the way and help you out. So I'm working on creating that. I'm working on creating a funnel for that. And I'm working with like high level coaches that have been there, done that. They've helped hundreds of people create consistent results. So I'm all about learning from people who have already been there and had success.
And you mentioned that you did a lot of research to learn about funnels. And I'm wondering, like, the research and the knowledge acquisition is still very important, but what do you see as the difference between like reading books, audiobooks, listening to podcasts versus having your own coach?
Oh, the difference is monumental. And I don't think the word accountability does it justice, because we can say accountability and people like roll their eyes and they're like, yeah, I have an accountability buddy, no big deal. But actually, it makes the biggest difference ever, having a real person who's checking in with you and who understands like who you are and what your goals are and what you want to achieve. And they're on your team. They're rooting for you. And they're there to make sure you're doing the work. But there's no podcast or book that I've found that takes that place. So yeah, I think it's really worth it to invest in ourselves as business owners and take advice from people who are like two or three steps ahead of us.
I really do like that idea of hiring a coach, and it's something that people mention again and again for the reason that they were able to significantly scale their businesses. So, I mean, coaching is definitely something very important to have one to guide you through a journey. But I would like to go back to the books, because we can still learn a lot from reading books. And I do believe that if you're reading a lot of books or consuming valuable content, you're definitely moving the needle a lot more forward than if you're not. So I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, for sure. So one of my favorite business books is The Ask Method by Ryan Levesque. And it's really about asking the right questions and understanding who your audience is before you market to them. So I base a lot of my work on those principles. Another book, and I'm actually just currently reading it, and it is so good. It's called Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. I think that's how you say it. And it's about the principles that need to be in play before you can persuade someone to do something. So that is super interesting and relevant when you are a marketer. And then two other ones that I love are Tools of the Titans and Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss. Those are both just compilations of advice from experts in all different fields, from all different walks of life. And Tim is like a master at asking really good questions. And all the people he interviews are so super successful. Like, I just pick up that book and read a few different interviews and instantly feel inspired and motivated.
Shanti, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations with us. And for anyone who wants to get the links to those books or the show notes, you can head over to markgaberti.com/E129 for those. And before we wrap up this episode, I would like to flip the tables a little bit. So, Shanti, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Wow, there's so many. That's tough. Probably how is what I'm doing or saying different from what's already been said and what's already been done? So I think it's really easy to just create a world full of copycats and to just do what everybody else is doing. But magic happens when you ask what makes you different and what makes your offer unique. So I think asking that question is really powerful.
Shanti, thank you for giving us that great question. And it's tempting to sometimes go that copycat route or just feel like you're doing your own thing when it may have a slight variation. But it's definitely important to re-examine yourself and make sure you're differentiating yourself, such as how Shanti's doing through her funnels and helping her clients to become more successful. And if you want to get more info on Shanti, you can head over to shantizack.com, as mentioned before. And she's also offering a course which walks people through creating a quiz funnel for their own business. That is over on her site, shantizack.com/quiz-funnel-course. If you're not a fan of like typing in all those dashes, that link will be in the show notes as well. So if you want that course, just head over to markaberry.com/E129. It will be there. But Shanti, I cannot thank you enough for being a great guest for the Breakthrough Success Podcast. Thank you for taking the time to share your insights with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberty.com/retweet.